Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. Happy Monday and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo and we have a fascinating topic, I think, today. We have an author with us who has put together a book, Listening with Heart, and it's called The New Paradigm for Women, 360 Degrees. Now, Elizabeth Diane is my guest, and I think it's going to surprise you the way that we're going to be presenting some thoughts. I don't think they're necessarily new, but maybe we're going to put a different twist on them for you today. Elizabeth Diane, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited to see where the conversation takes us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Now, you are a woman that has enjoyed being in the academic arena, and also you're very much involved in athletic activities.
Mm-hmm.
You embarked on a career in teaching, counseling, and coaching. You got degrees from McMaster and the University of Western Ontario.
Right.
You were a founder of the first basketball league for girls in Stony Creek, Ontario, and the founder of Mother Daughter Nights. And because of your activity involving young girls and adult women, you were presented with the OSSTF Excellence in Education Award in 2000. I liked the statement that you made where you said, although women have progressed in many areas, the knowledge was not being used to initiate a shift in their thinking. And you were involved in the educational system for over 15 years, and you decided you were going to do it differently. And you joined forces with Andrew Marshall, which enabled you to both found the Listening with Heart 360,
mm-hmm.
and it's especially oriented towards young girls and women regarding body image, relationships, and going for the golden dream, whatever that might be.
That's right.
Elizabeth, this is a topic, my goodness, since the 1960s, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It has been bantered around, batted around, hunched, shoved, kicked, stomped on. It's
yes.
gone through everything. And you know what? We were talking about this before we came on the show. So much seemingly has changed, yet so much remains the same. Do you ever feel like you're beating your head up against a brick wall?
I never feel that way, simply because I really feel that what we have done in the book and what we're doing with the organization is we are going to try to get out there that this is all about triggering new angles of thinking. And the reason why Listening with Heart is needed and it came about was exactly that, is I found that the girls that I was teaching, coaching, and counseling in my 15th year were still getting tripped up in the same areas as the girls that I had taught in my first year.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this talk and all of the media coverage of how women are progressing, Andrew and I began to question, progressing from where? What exactly are people referring to when they say that women have progressed? Do they mean career-wise? Do they mean in their relationships, in the marriage, in a family? First off, I want to start and get clear, progressing from what? From what benchmark are we starting from? Because from what I can gather in my own experience in my past in teaching and coaching and in writing the book, we found that now more than ever, girls and women are presented with multitudes of knowledge. We have more information about our bodies and about psychology and about science and spirituality. It's just it's an information age that has just bursted wide open. Yet, because we believe the female thinking is kind of resonating or it's stuck at what we call this programming, women's thinking isn't in the optimum place in order to be able to use this knowledge to the best of its ability. So that's what we think is happening, is that the female consciousness in the big picture is resonating with what we introduce in the book called programming.
You have the wonderful man, Andrew Marshall, that you have become associated with in this organization.
Yes.
And many, many times, women in today's world, I'm not saying always, but many, many times, they have an attitude of being the victim, and they don't want men involved. And it's so very important to me that Andrew is part of the team, and that he is part of a team because he wants to contribute to the betterment of the female, because the reality is men benefit when the women benefit and vice versa. You know, it's where there's just two of us on this planet, we come just in two genders.
That's right.
Unless they come up with a third or a fourth one, which isn't a thing impossible, you know, in 100 years
well,
from now. Who knows?
That's right, exactly. Who knows?
We don't know. But anyway, just being straight-faced about this, the truth is, it has always been, in my mind's view, detrimental to the male population when the women are kept subservient, just like it is detrimental to the female population when the male population is kept subservient. This is my particular paradigm. And I feel that when we can empower people, male or female, to recognize that they have an opportunity to be a contributor to life, we've got an aha.
We definitely have an aha. And if I can talk about Andrew for a second.
Oh, please do.
The reason why Andrew is involved is because when his mother was pregnant with him, a whole bunch of doctors advised her, and she was just a young woman, she was just late teens, early 20s, and they said to her, you know, if you carry this baby to full term, there's probably going to be problems for you, and most likely the baby. But she decided that Andrew was to come and be part of this world, so she went ahead with the pregnancy, and she did pass. So listening with heart is Andrew's way. He's always felt that he owes his mother a huge amount of gratitude and appreciation doesn't
mm-hmm.
even come close.
Mm-hmm.
But all the love that she had for him, that he brought into the world, he thought, what better way to repay his mom than to pass it around and help girls and women progress?
I don't think anything could be said more eloquently, because I think that
you're very kind.
That is really something that is especially significant. And so my thanks to Andrew in just being of the nature that he is. We need to be aware, more aware of the Andrews in life, because there are many of them. Let's
yes.
get into some of the meat of your book here.
All right.
Listening with Heart. Right off the bat, you bring up the word programming.
Yes.
And that programming is anything that takes us away from our natural self
mm-hmm.
and makes us think we have to be something we are not. Now, I don't care what culture in the world we see, male
mm-hmm.
or female, there's programming.
Yes, there is.
Period. Anywhere in the world. You could be in Bongo Bongo and it's there.
It's there.
So you mentioned two types of programming. Let's talk about the two types of programming. What's programming one and what's programming two?
Okay, the first type of programming is the most obvious, and that is the media, the advertisers, the big business. So this type of programming is simply a system devised to make money. So that's pretty straightforward, and we can all see it when we turn the TV on or we flip open a magazine. It's all around us.
Oh, sure.
And the second type of programming is all of the demands and roles put upon women and the ones that they take on throughout their lives. But Andrew always wants me to make sure, because I do most of the interviews, he always wants me to make sure to point out that not all programming is negative, because it seems that when we mention programming to women, they automatically think, oh, you know, well, programming, well, that's all negative. Not at all. In fact, you could probably see in your own life, Donna, that the role of a wife or mother or career woman, I mean, you get a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment from some of those roles. that we're terming programming in our terminology. But we want to make sure that what our organization, our book is about, is to provide women with a deeper understanding of the programming so that if it is negatively influencing them past to a harmful point, that they're going to be able to alleviate some of that pressure in that area.
I think that the programming, again, you have programming that involves discipline, just to complement what you said.
Yes.
The programming of don't be late, you must be on time. You have to respect other people's positions, and so you must be this way, that way, or the other way. Be honest, have integrity.
Yes.
All of that is programming.
Yes.
And no matter where you go, there's programming of different cultures, different environments that can be considered good, bad, or indifferent by whoever views what through whatever filters they view things through.
Exactly.
But if we just deal with our own Western culture, which I think is appropriate here, we have many kinds of programming that are false programming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, let's say, gee whiz, if you wear purple, you're stupid. And this is a dumb example.
I know what you're saying. Yes, okay.
But it's, you know, here you go. Somebody say, you're in an environment, say, well, my dear, I'm sorry, but if you wear purple, you are absolutely one of the stupidest human beings on the face of this planet.
Right.
And you go, but I don't understand. I really, well, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of Alice in Wonderland. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like the queen cut off their heads. But you have this in life, and it's pretty hard to get through that. So you've mentioned the program with the media. You mentioned other kinds of programming and
mm-hmm.
Andrew's point that not all programming is bad.
Right.
So you've got all of this potpourri that you get. You get it from your family. You get it from society.
Mm-hmm.
You get it from whatever religious environment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You get it from your peers.
The education system.
Yeah. It's all through there.
Yes.
So you have a statement in your book. You say, this is not a self-help book, Listening with Heart.
Right.
It's the You Help the World book, which I thought was interesting, because really it's about you helping you, and then that helps the world. Am I incorrect? Am I?
That is essentially it, because the big picture, before we get into specifics about the different chapters, but the big picture of Listening with Heart 360 is to provide girls and women with a meeting place, because at the moment, the female thinking, it's extremely fragmented. So it means I have been on several shows where a lot of the interviews at commercial breaks will say, Elizabeth, like, this is great because there's so many people coming on and they're talking about girls and women and they're helping girls and women in all these different areas. And that just proves the point that we're trying to make. There's all these great people doing all these wonderful things for girls and women, but we're all essentially still working in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no galvanizing point. There's no magnetizing hub of the wheel. And that's what we want to be. Because we want to start establishing youthful highways and networks between women and girls. And unfortunately, the destinations are there, but no, the lines of communication are not there. Nobody knows what each other are doing.
I think part of that, in some respects, is that we are a very mobile world anymore,
mm-hmm.
very mobile society.
Yes.
And just this morning, I was reviewing some material about someone who was of a cultural background from Asia, and they had been adopted, and they found when they went back into that cultural background that there was just something, they felt like they were at home,
mm-hmm.
but there were no elders around. I have been around Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Whose senior members of their tribes, their collectives, whatever term you want to use, they're no longer there for them to go to. And I think we are evolving into an awareness that the older generations have great value for the younger generations, but the younger generations must adapt, as they always have to,
mm-hmm.
to the changes that they are going to be evolving into that the older generations may not necessarily see.
That's an excellent point, and it does speak to the programming, because the great thing, or the interesting thing about the programming is that it's predictable. So as generations turn into other generations and we evolve, the programming doesn't change that much. It's very predictable. And when it comes to women, even more predictable. Because basically the general formula for the programming for women is make it unattainable, give women not too much time to think about things or a lot of time to themselves, and then we'll kind of keep the thinking at the same place. And I believe that's where we find ourselves just now.
Well, I think, too, what goes into the equation, and this has been a global situation. I've seen it many, many times from women from different cultures. The key to being able to make a shift is to learn how to think. And mm-hmm. this is something that too frequently is not encouraged, period.
Yes.
Male or female, but especially with the female.
That's right.
Dumbed down is a term that I think is there. And by education and by learning to think, people can learn how to add one and one and two and two.
Yes.
But to reason, to be able to question, many times you have to go through that phase of unlearning certain things.
Yes.
That you have been programmed to. Maybe your grandmother says girls should never wear pants,
mm-hmm.
long pants. They just shouldn't do it. That's unladylike. It just wouldn't be done.
That's right.
Well, the young woman might be working in a situation where to wear a skirt is absolutely stupid and ridiculous because it could threaten her physical well-being.
That's right.
Or, you know, maybe she has to wear these steel-toed boots or whatever, and someone may say, well, my goodness, that's just not the right job for a woman. Well, that's stupid. As far as I'm concerned, if she's capable of handling a welding torch, if she has the strength and stamina
right.
to work underwater, for heaven's sake, let her do it. There's not enough guys that can do it. So why not let the gals in?
And I think that you make such a fascinating point that I'm going to narrow the focus on is the ability to question. And when you look back over history and you study all of the gurus and the sages and Buddha and Jesus, they were all about, don't just accept my word for it. You go and you question and you see if what I've said to be true out there in the world. They were all about questioning. They weren't all about, okay, well, this is what I'm saying, and so this is true. They weren't all about a hierarchy. They were all about a sharing of the power. And I think this is what women and girls can bring into, in particular, North American society, is we can bring that softer negotiating side, because I believe it's been lost. Because women, we don't think we have it, but we do.
The key is, I think, with the female, just like she has always been within the family, typically. Now, not all women are like this.
That's
right.
It would
be ridiculous to say that all women were born to be mothers.
It's true.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
But when you have a woman who is taking care of a family, who is doing a job, who is managing so many things, she's not any different than an administrator of a hospital.
That's
she's
right.
She's just doing a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to help that woman understand her value, to help her realize that if she reads, if she educates herself, if she puts herself into environments she's never been into at all, just to test the water,
yes.
she will discover a different side of herself. And that's part of what you bring out. I like the idea that you have the Barbie doll thing, where we
mm-hmm.
all have dolls, and little girls love to do this typically. Some
yes.
of us may say, well, gee, was all, I'd rather have my brother's carpenter set, or I'd rather be a doctor, or I'd
That's
rather
right.
do this. But generally, there is that caretaking part of the female, and nature has equipped the female to do that, my paradigm again,
mm-hmm.
because she is the one that is going to give birth. She is the one that is going to be carrying a life within her, and so that is part of her equipment.
Well, if you were to look back and again study history, and I'm sure I've looked over your bio and you definitely have extensive knowledge about some of these, you were saying the Native Americans and some of these people, the female was revered because we are co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole way of thinking, it's gone by the wayside. And it's been by the wayside for a really, really long time. And what we are trying to do, and you keep mentioning education, and again, I totally believe that education is extremely important, but I also believe that there's that missing ingredient of needing to really initiate a shift in thinking by this deeper understanding of the programming. And I'll give you an example. Remember how you said at the beginning of the programming, we've been batting this thing around for decades and decades,
mm-hmm.
correct, about women and we're not as far as we could be and what's going on and women, ad nauseum. Well, I go and I talk to teenage girls all the time. And I've been doing that for about 15 years. And so we've known for 15 years that all of these airbrushing and the touch-ups, all of this has been going on in magazines for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going and telling the girls for years and years and years that what they are looking at, the image that they are looking at, is a half-truth.
Interesting.
And they're still getting tripped up. So what we need to do is we need to talk to them about these things in their own language, because it seems that telling them that that's a half-truth isn't working. It's working for some girls, but it's not working for the majority of girls. So, as well as the big picture of trying to raise the female consciousness, this is all about getting the young girls to see the reality in front of them. And, of course, the truth and reality are the same thing. And you have to talk their language. Like, for example, I will start out a keynote at a high school with all girls there, and I'll say, all right, put up your hand if you want to gain 10 pounds. And they all look at me like,
oh, wow. I like
yeah.
that. Wow. Whoa. Yeah, do that with any group of women.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm going to see them look at you and say, okay, when is she getting off the stage?
That's right. I mean, you tell any woman what woman's going to put up their hand if they want to gain 10 pounds? Not very many, because the programming is predictable. So then I try to explain to them that this whole idea of the storm of puberty, the storm of puberty is the time that it takes for the female thinking to catch up to her fully developed woman's body. And this is what is not being taught. The education system is doing a great job teaching the girls about the physical changes,
mm-hmm.
right? And we all know the breasts are going to develop. You're going to put on some weight, because on average, a girl at puberty is going to gain 10, 15, 20 pounds,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, tell any woman they're going to gain weight and she's going to get a little freaked out. So what we try to do is we try to phrase it in, you're in grade 10 now. So if I'm talking to grade 10 girls, and I'll say, you're in grade 10 now. And they're like, yes. And I said, so in grade 10 math, is your grade 8 thinking going to cut it? And they're like, no, of course not, miss. And I said, well, then why are you trying to keep a grade 8 body when you're in grade 10?
Mm-hmm.
We have to, the point I try to get across to the young girls is logic and common sense, because logic and common sense will beat the programming.
Well, that maybe then that needs to be taught to some of the adults, because if the adults aren't getting it, then how do you expect the kids to get it?
Well, our key, like what our big plan is, we're at the teenage girls stage, and essentially what we're working on now is we're working on a female cartoon character who is going to bring in all of this understanding of the programming to 7, 8, 9-year-old girls. Because if we get them there before the onslaught of the programming that happens at puberty, they might have a bit of a better chance to be able to handle it when it does hit them.
There are so many cycles in life.
Mm-hmm.
Many times as we mature, we're able to look back over the journeys that we've taken, and we say, well, there's this with puberty, there's another phase. When you hit 20, 21, then there's another phase,
mm-hmm.
and you get in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. There just seems to be, like, every 7 to 10 years, this brand new cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big challenges, I think, for many women in the world today is that there is so much that has changed so quickly, socially, environmentally, that a lot of people feel like they are at loose ends. And I think that's where Listening with Heart is a good book, perhaps for mothers and daughters to read together.
Most definitely. Because what we have also found to be the biggest disruption to the mother-daughter bond is puberty. So what we suggest, because I have a lot of mothers as clients of mine, and a lot of them will come in, and unfortunately sometimes it'll be too late because the daughter is 18, 19 years old. But what I do when I do a keynote for mothers and for kids who are in the junior grades who are, say, 8, 9, 10, I'll say, let your daughter know what is going to happen to her during this time. Let her know she's going to put on some weight, because as your body's growing, unless you're a balloon and you're expanding, you're going to gain weight. That's just logic. And let her know about, have the talk about how creation is entering your body and how that is a responsibility, and how her having these warm and fuzzy feelings when the tall blue-eyed blonde walks down the hall are quite natural. Let her know she's going to be confused and anxious. Give her a little map as to where she's going. And it's like you say, it's not like we're going to totally take the sting out of puberty, but maybe we can make it sting a little less, because we're letting a lot of these young girls go in blind, totally blind. They have absolutely no idea what's going on and what's happening. And I think, remember how you were saying how in some tribes and in ancient societies, it was the elders' responsibility to pass this information down to the youngsters. And I believe that if we can get more mothers on board with this idea that, hey, you know, wherever you got tripped up in puberty, that's okay. As long as you've come to terms with what's happened in your storm, then you're going to be able to help your daughter through hers.
Elizabeth, I know we are pretty close to being out of time here. Your book, Listening with Heart, The New Paradigm for Women, this book, again, is very good for young girls as well as adults, because
yes,
I think that there are many women that are trying to be okay with who they really are, and that is a process. I don't know of anybody that gets there immediately. There may be a few on the planet, but not many. It's always a journey, and I think that's part of what women, and I think I'm including myself in that group that have, because of what I do with my show, I like to think that I'm able to present different paradigms of thinking for people to utilize.
Yes.
And if you don't question, if you don't ask, then you're never going to know what might be available for you, and that's so important. What's your website where people can go and check this information out further?
The website is www.listeningwithheart.com, and if you order the book off our website, Andrew and I will personally autograph it and send it off to you. But if you don't make it to our site, Amazon is carrying it, Barnes & Noble's, and wherever you can find books in the United States. And I just want to quickly mention, even though it's a great book for mothers and daughters, there's 14 chapters, and it covers 360 means exactly that. We cover all women's issues, so puberty, dating, marriage, divorce, positive thinking, how to develop your intuition. So, and of course, the bigger picture of getting together and raising the female consciousness if you want to take it to that level. So it's a book for all women, and yes, mothers and daughters would definitely benefit.
One of your statements before we close out for the mothers in the world, believe in your daughter, plant the seeds and wait. Give her all the time, the needs, on that day when she wakes up, believing in herself, smile. It just doesn't get any better than that. Elizabeth, it's been a delight. Your website is listeningwithheart.com. And for all of you gals out there, this would make a great gift. And for you guys listening, this might be a very nice gift to give to a mom that's having a challenge with a teenage daughter. And it could be read as a family unit. Donna Sebo here. Elizabeth Diane, thank you so much. Listening with Heart is the book we've been talking about. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away, because we've got a lot of good things to share with you today. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Donna, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. That was delightful.
Great. Stand by for just a moment. I'm waiting for someone to come in here. Something's happening technologically, Elizabeth, so I'll have to say goodbye.
Say goodbye. Thank you. It was very natural and flowing. I had a great time.
Wonderful.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You, dear. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Donna Sebo here. We were going to take a break, but something has happened, so we're just going to be moving right along. And what I wanted to do is to let you know telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for anyone else, it's 530-876-3222.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines again are open, 877-876-5227. That's U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you that are first-time listeners, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, and I'll be getting to that caller shortly. And you'll find out how we're going to do it. It's real simple. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Now, this week, this is a countdown time because I'm going to be flying to San Francisco to participate in the Wisdom Festival. It's coming up this weekend, and the 18th and the 19th, 17th, we're going to be there. We're going to be setting up, and then the 18th and 19th, we will be there as well. This is a wonderful event. I want to encourage you, if you're in Northern California, try to make plans to come on down to Fort Mason because it is just absolutely gorgeous. We're right on the water, beautiful view. It's going to be nice weather. And when you come out, just know that you're going to meet a lot of interesting people. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to have a booth there. I will be speaking. Stop on by. Say hello. But, boy, we've got people coming in from all over the country to attend this annual festival in San Francisco. So I invite you to come and to join us and take participation in the classes or whatever other activity you would like to be involved with. And remember, just go to their website, wisdomfestival.com, and you can get all of the details right there. And again, don't forget to stop by and say hello while you're there, because I'd love to meet you. Let's go to our first caller of the day. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is JL, and I'm calling from New York City.
From New York City. Oh, one of my favorite places. Okay, hon, first thing that I am looking at with you is a combination of particulars. One is the advancement of a skill that is going to require, I think, a specialized course, class, and also an involvement with someone who has the same kind of skill but who is very sophisticated. Let me use the example of someone being a singer, for example. Maybe you find someone that has had a tremendous career in music, and maybe they're teaching. So you go to that environment, or you're taking classes and majoring in English, but in music. So it's that kind of a patterning. This is a very intensive time for you. It's as if there's some tears that will be shed because of a certain relationship, and I'm using this in the singular, a particular relationship that is going to be said to be no value, and it's as if I've got to say goodbye to it. Then also what I'm looking at is some traveling here. You're really going to need to pay attention to your cash flow, because if you're not careful, you could overextend in your credit card environment, and you don't want to do that. So try to be prudent with your dollars. And if you know that there are activities or situations coming up where you are going to have to pay out a certain amount of money and you need to save for it, make that your priority. You'll be very, very glad you did. And then you won't have to be under what I call the financial pressure of, gee whiz, am I going to have anything extra this next month? So save. Also, there's an opportunity for you to do some volunteering. It looks like it's at a theater of some kind where there's some fabulous productions going on. And I want to say, what a great environment to be in. You're going to meet all kinds of people, and if you're comfortable with the volunteering, go for it, because it's going to enable you to see a lot of things that otherwise you wouldn't have an opportunity to see. So you've got a very interesting period between now and, I'd say, the third week of January. So you've got to get your planning together. You must stay focused, hon, so that you don't get sidetracked and get things done. You'll be very, very glad you did. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me today?
Well, you're right, because I'm currently majoring in psychology, and I'm going to go into internship next year, actually September of 2009.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the thing is, I'm stressed out right now because I'm not sure, like, I feel like I have a lot of pressure from school, and I'm not sure if I'm able to get into the program, because I will have to ask for recommendations from teachers and go for interviews, and, you know, I'm kind of stressed out about that.
All right. Let me ask you a question, dear, about being stressed out. Why are you concerned so much about this? What is stressing you out? Is it because you're not sure what area or what arena of psychology you want to go into, and that maybe somebody will say, well, if you wanted to work with children, I don't think you're very qualified to do that. You just don't have the psychological makeup. Are you afraid of feedback like that from somebody?
I mean, I know what kind of psychology I want to go into, but I just don't want to say on the air.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's not It's not a big deal. But I'm asking the question, why are you fearful of getting recommendations from people?
Because I'm fearful that, I'm fearful that I might not get recommendation and I might not get into internships, so that's what I've been stressing out about.
All right, let's put stress in its proper perspective. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at this. You know what your requirements are. How many referrals do you need? How many references?
I need about two.
Two. Just two. One, mm-hmm. two. That's all you need.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a list of people that you can contact? You should have at least 20. Do you have 20 people that you could go to say, I would like to have a letter of recommendation from you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have 20 people you could go to?
No, but I thought of a few because they actually have to be my teachers from the past.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So that narrows it down then.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some teachers that have been around you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have five of those?
I'm not sure. I haven't really given it a thought yet.
All right, then that's your first step. You
uh-huh.
need to give it the thought.
Uh-huh.
You're stressing over about what isn't real. And what is happening here is the concern that you're dealing with yourself. And this is part of your learning about psychology.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take care of you first.
Yes.
So how are you going to be able to feel good about being in an internship when you don't have enough confidence in yourself? And so this is part of the learning curve, hon, and it's not a bad place to be. It's just learning, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is make a list of five teachers.
Mm-hmm.
If you can come up with 10, that's even better.
But you do see me somehow
of
getting
Of course you're going
into,
to go through the internship. That's
you do
why
see
it's
that
important.
In my future?
Well, of course. It's not a problem. That's not that big a deal.
Uh-huh.
The issue for you is, if you know, let's say you wanted to go into a level of internship dealing with sexual issues. All right,
mm-hmm.
let's just toss that out there.
Uh-huh.
So you go to your teachers and you say, I am being offered an opportunity for internship, and I would appreciate knowing if you would give me a recommendation so that I could qualify for it. They're going to say one of two things, yes or no. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
They might even say, well, why do you want to do this? And you need to say, this is why I'm looking at this particular arena and why I want to take advantage of this internship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to have much of a problem.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Donna. Can I also ask another question regarding a certain type of relationship?
What kind of a relationship?
Well, what happened is I have a close friend. He's a guy friend of mine. And he has a friend that's not my friend, but his friend. But
mm-hmm.
I've seen him a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is mourning over the death of his mother right now. And my friend, he lives in Texas, so he can't really actually take care of his friend that lives in New York as well. And he kind of handed the responsibility over to me where he asked me to call that person, go out with that person, take him to spiritual places. And I feel that I have a tremendous pressure because I feel like I already have my own things to deal with because I'm quite busy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can really handle the responsibility of taking care of someone who's mourning over his mother.
Well, I don't think it's your job to take care of him anyway. That's not it. I think what happens here is that the communication between yourself and your friend in Texas, your friend in Texas obviously is very worried, and so he's saying, gee, would you look out for him? I think in a way you're trying to take and make it into something bigger than what it has to be. It wouldn't be a bad thing maybe to call this person up since you've already met this individual
mm-hmm.
and say, I'm just giving you a call because so-and-so, our mutual friend in Texas, is so worried about you. I think it'd be a great idea if you'd give him a call
mm-hmm.
because I know that your mother has passed away, and that can be a pretty tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if sometime you'd like to just have a cup of coffee, then mm-hmm. give me a call. But I'm calling because of the expressed concern of a friend. Now, I'm just making this suggestion. You use your own words, hon. But this is not a duty and an obligation unless you make it so.
Okay.
And if you're involved with school, but I think being thoughtful and being kind is not an issue. But for a friend to say, you got to do this, no, that's inappropriate on your friend's part if that's what it is. But I think what's happening here is that you're very loyal and you're of a caretaking personality anyway, so you feel that this is something, gee whiz, I've got to do this. And you don't want to. No, you don't have to. This isn't your job. But being thoughtful, being kind, and you could just, you know, let your friend know if you text them or if you're going to give them a call sometime and just say, I want you to know I talked to your friend so-and-so on Wednesday and we're going to meet him for a cup of coffee and he's going to be fine, but I want you to know something. I can't be his caretaker. But I think you can just be natural with this. I don't think this has to be a big deal, hon. But I never think thoughtfulness or kindness is ever, ever inappropriate.
Okay. But you don't feel that I'll be saying goodbye to this friend, because I remember at the beginning we were saying that I would have
I don't think that they're... I think you're making more out of this than what's there.
Okay.
But I would just say let it be. You don't have to say goodbye. All
because,
you have to do is just say, we can meet for a cup of coffee sometime. Don't make this into a mountain. It's not even a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to take a break, hon.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a fabulous evening now. There
you
go.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Thiebaud. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We're taking a break. Phone number is 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Thiebaud to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Thiebaud accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Thiebaud will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Thiebaud. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Or 530-876-3222. I wanted to talk about a woman entrepreneur by the name of Karen Totino. So many times people will be involved in different types of work and will develop experiences, and they get an aha in life, and they go, gee whiz, I have this hobby, I have this interest, and I'd love to make it a part of my life. I would like to make it something that really has meaning and make it into a business. Well, that's exactly what Karen did. And what evolved for her, and this is something that I think is so significant, it's paying attention to what goes on in your world. The storm drains in her neighborhood area had been spray painted with messages warning the local residents that water from the street we're going to end up in the local creek. Now, this story really rang something in my mental chime area, primarily because talking about Karen, what happened with her neighborhood, that the storm drains being spray painted with messages warning the local people that water from the streets would end up in the local creek. And like I said, it rang my mental chimes because in the area that I live in, we have a place called Chambers Creek. And this is quite a good-sized creek that runs. In fact, salmon come up the creek during the salmon period. And Karen said to herself, pesticides from people's lawns are running off into the storm drains, and the storm drains are naturally going down into the creek. And she said other neighborhoods were having the same situation. Now, Tortino, she lives in upstate New York. She had been working as an occupational therapist and as a hobby did organic gardening. Now, she had been for a number of years very concerned about the potential effects of pesticides and herbicides. She would not use anything like that because she wanted healthy fruits and vegetables for her family. She had been using organic products in her garden and on her lawn. She also was very open in talking to people about what they need to do to have an eco-friendly environment with whatever you use to keep your garden and lawn healthy. But the realization that chemicals, toxic chemicals, were draining into the neighborhood creek really inspired her to make a big change. She decided she was going to go into business for herself. She was going to open up an organic lawn care business that would enable people to maintain their lawns without hurting any environmental aspect at all. So she worked on this for about a year. She got some help from a local bank as far as working on her business plan. And her business is called the Green Conscience Organic Lawn Care. Now, she opened this in 2006. Now, her business within 2 years tripled because Totina said that there are so many people that are ready for this. And to be able to have a nice yard, a nice garden, really means a lot to them. And they're aware that the toxic pesticides and other things that are going into their water system, their water table, is going to eventually affect their wellness, and they don't like that at all. So American gardeners are really moving forward to green lawn practices. You know, in some parts of the world, like New Zealand, the Netherlands, and Singapore, they've been working towards this for a good deal of time. Now, the National Gardening Association found that 5% of U.S. households with a yard or garden use only all-natural fertilizers and pest controls, while 35% of households use both all-natural and synthetic products. Now, this lady, not only does she have her business, but she is taking it to another level. She works with ecologically based landscaping, and she works on indigenous plants and trees. She said she teaches classes on mitigating the effects of pesticides. So she's one of many people that are saying, we can make a difference, we can do something, we can create change. We don't have to wait until devastating situations occur. Let's take the steps that we can take right where we are right now. She's teamed up with some county officials to develop a rain barrel project, which will enable the residents to harvest rainwater for gardening. And it reduces the amount of valuable drinking water that typically would be used on lawns and prevents the drainage of potentially harmful water into nearby creeks. Now, Karen Totino had no concept this is going to be her work and her passion. But she's been involved in this environment for the last 4 years. She absolutely loves it. Goes back to when she was a little girl and interacted with her grandparents, helping them with their garden. You just never know what you are going to find is going to become your passion. With Karen, when she decided she wanted to do a green business, she went and she did her homework first. She enlisted the aid and assistance of people that she knew had more savvy than she did. Now, I know we have all this talk on the media. If you watch the news, you're going to think that everything is going down the toilet big time. But I want to remind you of something. During every great depression, every great upheaval, there is always an opportunity for innovation to come in, make a turnaround, implement change so that we can accomplish more than we ever dreamed before. Keep that in mind. Remember, With every challenge, there's an opportunity for growth, development, expansion, and reaching for brand new dreams. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Believe it. Know it. Go for it. Your dreams are golden, and they're yours to see evolve and have life. Donna Sebo here. Talk with you tomorrow. We're going to be talking pets. Take care. Same time, same place. Right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.